With Sanga, I am very concerned because I have no idea what's going on with him. He's obviously been very frail in his career. We've seen him have a bunch of different kinds of injuries, two to his legs. He also had the arm injury last year, and I think there was like a third injury last year too that I don't even remember. I thought what Carlos Mendoza said after Sunday's game was really interesting. I have the quote up for those who aren't familiar. He said, "We'll see what's next for him. We've been trying to fix him for quite a bit now, whether it's mechanics. He says he feels fine physically, but we're not seeing results." So to me, I mean, that sounded a lot like they're considering him not making his next start. I think that's going to be interesting because the Mets don't have a ton of things they can actually do with Sanga. I tried to do some digging. Japanese free agents can or cannot have like minor league options depending on how their contract is structured. And that part of Sanga's contract apparently is not public knowledge. I asked a couple of the beat writers. They don't even know. So I would assume he probably doesn't have minor league options. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, the only other option is to either just like waste a spot on the 26, soon to be 28 man roster and skip his start, or do like a little Vantam IL thing. But they've gotten in trouble.
Yeah, they've taken that off the table. Yeah,
they got in trouble for that a couple of years ago. So there's not much they can do there. But I mean, Mendoza does not get on his players publicly. And even this was like a little bit tame, but I don't think I've seen him as like frustrated talking about an individual player like that before. And it doesn't sound like he's going to make his next start. And that could be an opportunity for Sproat.
Yeah. I mean, the tough part is like, I've seen fan theories that are sort of in the what if we piggyback Minaya and Sanga zone, because Minaya seems like he can't go past four. But Sanga, you never know which inning is going to be the blow up inning. You never know. And quite often, it's his first inning.
It's right away.
Yeah. Historically, his first inning has been his worst inning by ERA since he came to MLB and came to the Mets.
Even when he was good.
Even in his first season, it was always the first inning that was his blow up season or blow up inning, and everything after that was pretty clean, frankly. And for his best stretches, that's still been true. So it's so clear, and it must be frustrating. I have a lot of sympathy for Mendoza, but it's so clear that he has everything that he needs to be a top line starter, to be a true ace, just in terms of stuff. You know, he can run his fastball up there 95 to 97 when he needs to, and the ghost fork is truly like the best put out pitch in baseball right now when he's right, like when he's getting chase on it. But he can't spot that for a strike, really, because it's just not the nature of the pitch trajectory. And so if one thing is even slightly out of whack, then the whole thing unravels. And that must be frustrating as a manager, because it's like we are so far beyond the days in which like a guy works himself out of not having his best stuff. Now it's just like, because every pitch is max effort, because every start is going to be high pitch count, and you're going to get pulled right around 90 to 100 no matter what, you never even have the time to pull yourself out of the tailspin. And Sanga, mechanically, it's just not, when it's not right, he doesn't figure it out. He has to figure it out between starts, not within a start, really. That is at least that is what it has felt like since he has come over here. And man, as a manager, to not know which version of a pitcher you're going to get every time you trot him out, that's really tough.
It's
I don't really know where we go with him, and because he should be the best pitcher on the team, like he just should be.
And I think that's why people get so frustrated with him. It's like, I don't know that Sanga is out there like demanding that they, you know, give him extra rest and that sort of thing. I think they're probably just, they know him, so they're doing it around him and instead. But I understand people getting so frustrated of like, this guy is like needs so many particular things for him to pitch, and he's still not pitching well. And it's like that affects how they build the roster and how they run out every other guy. And I think they're quote unquote lucky that every pitcher on their rotation needs an extra day. But you know, if there are situations in the past, like 2023, when you had, you know, Scherzer and Verlander, who are like in their routines, they had to deal with that too. And I don't remember them being particularly happy about having to like kind of manipulate the ways that they pitch, because they've been doing it for so long. And I think that's where
people, I don't remember really Scherzer being particularly happy about anything in New York.
Yeah, no, he's not a chipper kind of guy for the most part.
Yeah.
Shout out Scherzer in Atlanta and against San Diego. I'll never forget. But it's frustrating. It's easy to get frustrated with Senga, and I'm frustrated too. And for a long time, I think I was like, the juice is worth the squeeze. And now I don't really know. You talked about the Benaiah Senga kind of piggyback thing. I think the real thing to do come the playoffs is you do it Benaiah Holmes.
Agreed.
And I'm not sure, unless something changes in these last 20 something games, I don't know that Senga makes the playoff roster right now. You make the postseason, you really only need like four starting pitchers, especially in those like early series. And I think that's going to be McLean and probably Tong and Peterson. And if you need a fourth guy, I think that's when you can do that combo Benaiah Holmes thing. Do you really trust Senga to throw one or two innings out of the bullpen? I don't right now. So what?
I don't trust him out of the bullpen at all. I feel like politically it's almost impossible to leave him off the playoff roster. He's like he has the biggest contract of any pitcher on the team, and he has been the best pitcher when he's been himself this year. So like they have to figure it out. Simply, they just have to figure it out. And if they don't, like, they probably won't make it long enough that it even becomes a problem. You know, like they will play a three-game wild card series, and you'll probably start, I guess, McLean at this point. I mean, it's silly. It's like we're three starts into his career, but like you'll probably start McLean in game one. I would think that Peterson has probably earned, unless Tong is just continues to be amazing. I would think that Peterson, and Peterson, you know, provided he doesn't like completely fall off a cliff after this bad start previously, would have earned a game two. And then like based on how they're playing, like, do you even make it to a game three if they're playing the Padres in the wild card series? Who knows? This is like so impossible to plan for. But you're right, they're now running into the problem of the, you know, Stearnsian way of building a team, where it's like a bunch of guys who are like right here within this same band of quality, just hoping that over a large sample size they have a slight edge on other things. But you don't have guys who are like top of the line. There's no DeGrom left, you know. There's no real Scherzer, even though he kind of fucks at the end of that season. There's not a guy who, you know, that's the guy I'm gonna roll out there. And that's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah, and I think like that's the crazy thing, is it's the 20-year-olds with no experience are those guys. And you know, there's no certainty there, of course. Like they at any point they could, you know, they could struggle, they could blow up, because they are young pitchers and they're learning. And I think you could saw with Tong's debut, like McLean is clearly like the Harvey in terms of just like the on the mound approach of like nothing scares that dude. It's very clear. He's very confident. Tong, you could see, was like actively nervous in his start. I think you could tell. And I think he just has that kind of like softer personality. So like you can't factor that stuff in, right? You know, you don't know what like the environment, especially of the playoffs, is going to do to a guy like that. But if you're going to take Mendoza and Stearns at their word, which they've said recently is like the guys who are pitching the best are the ones who are going to get starts, you know, that leaves out some of these veteran guys who are really not carrying, you know, the water here. You know, they're really not doing well. And it might be like a political thing, and like maybe you'd have to explore trading a Senga in the off season if he's really unhappy with it. But if he doesn't find it and fix his mechanics or whatever the issue is over this last month, I don't know how you can justify putting him on the roster. I think you're just wasting a spot at that point.
Yeah. I mean, you might be able to find a roster spot for him in a 7-game series or a 5-game series. But I think in that first round where you only have, you know, 3 games max, I don't think that he gets a start in a 3-game series where you can actually line up your pitchers right now.
No, unless he's like suddenly awesome his last 4 or 5 starts, however many left he's going to get, if he gets that many. Because again, we might be seeing Sproat this week in I don't know what to
make about that. The rotation suddenly becoming 3 young guys who I'm just like, I have so much optimism and hope invested in after almost a full season of a bunch of just like kind of mediocre 34-year-olds is just such whiplash from a fan perspective.
It's kind of like if in 2015 they waited until like the end of August to call up Syndergaard and Mats and like also Harvey, I guess. Like,
right. Yeah.
And you're like, or it's if it was Bartolo Colon and Dylan G before this, and now we got these guys. Like, that's awesome.
It's a little like if the team was good in 2014, you know? Like, okay, we called up Jacob McGraw. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's so strange that the hopes, and I wrote about this last week, but you have the most expensive roster in baseball. I think potentially the most expensive roster in the history of baseball. And this is a Met team that spent almost $2 billion on off-season acquisitions since Cohen bought the team in 2021. And the hinges of their biggest season of all time in terms of expectations rest on the hopes of three minor league pitchers and not any of like the superstars that they paid a ton of money to. And I think that is kind of insane. In another way, you're like, okay, well, that's the other side of Steve Cohen's money, if you want to give it the positive spin of like scouting and player development and analytics and all those things. And I think there's merit to that, but it is just kind of crazy how we got here.
Thanks for listening to this free preview of the Just Mets podcast. If you liked what you heard and want access to full weekly episodes and additional bonus content, you can become a supporter of Just Mets on patreon.com/justmets or on justmets.net.